Beloved, let's turn to God's word now in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verse 16 through the end of the chapter, 16 through 27. The grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's give our attention to it. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. For if you warn the righteous person not to sin, but if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live. Because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. And the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose and went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I had seen by the Kebar Canal, and I fell on my face. But the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And he spoke with me and said to me, go, shut yourself within your house. And you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you, and you shall be bound with them, so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth, so that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who will hear, let him hear, and he will refuse to hear, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. So as we have seen in the previous verses in Ezekiel, God has called this prophet to a very, very high and hard task. He has called Ezekiel to preach judgment, not to people that want to hear it, but to a rebellious house, a people that do not want to hear it, a people that the Lord said previously will not listen. And nevertheless, Ezekiel must speak. He must speak. And that fact has been impressed upon him in two ways. One, through his vision of the glory of the Lord, Ezekiel has come face to face with a divine warrior, a king seated on his throne, on the move, ready to judge his people. Ezekiel has seen what is coming as he sees of the Lord, and he hears what is coming as he hears the Lord. And this is also impressed on Ezekiel in another way, not only through his eyes, but also through his words, and in his own body, it would seem. Unable to stand, the Spirit of God lifts him up. That same spirit that causes the divine warrior's chariot to move in justice lifts up the prophet and enables him to work, enables him to do the things that he is called to do, to speak as he has been told to speak. And now as we come to this passage in Ezekiel 3, the end of Ezekiel 3, this is impressed yet once more. This call of Ezekiel is not short. It is not brief. We see it impressed over and over again. This is not just for Ezekiel's benefit, beloved, but it's for ours. It reminds us that we must listen to what he has to say. This is a man who has come face to face with the Lord God Almighty, who speaks a word of judgment, who does not wink at sin, who has seen the rebelliousness of his own people and is coming in judgment. If we are going to just walk away, ignore it, we find ourselves in similar danger. These chapters are here for us to see what Ezekiel sees, to hear what Ezekiel hears, to know the heart of God, the will of God. What a blessing that is to us if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And the way that this is impressed even further here in this passage is by a word to the prophet, not only to speak as he has been spoken to, but a warning that if he does not, he will die. He will die. In other words, as God speaks in this passage in verses 16 through 27, there are two audiences immediately in view: the people that Ezekiel will speak to, and Ezekiel himself. That same righteousness and obedience that God is calling the people to, God is also calling Ezekiel to. You remember perhaps in a previous verse when God told Ezekiel, "Don't be rebellious like these people are. Speak as I have spoken to you." The Lord essentially says the same thing again. He says this and impresses this in two particular ways as he thinks about his word to the wicked and his word to the righteous. Let's look at it again. He says, "If I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to the wicked, nor warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die from his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." Do you see the two audiences there? The two people that really need to listen to this. The wicked, if they do not turn, or if they do not hear, in other words, I should say, if they do not hear the warning of the Lord, they don't get off. It's not like, "Oh, I didn't hear the word of the Lord, so I'm okay." No, he says, if they don't hear, they shall die. Why? Because of their iniquity. It's not as though their salvation their judgment is dependent on whether Ezekiel does well or not. They are judged because they have not done well. There is already a problem. Even before the prophet speaks, they've already been condemned. They've already fallen into sin. That person, even if Ezekiel doesn't say anything, will still die. Why? Because of their sins. They will be held to account for their sins. But then, speaking to Ezekiel directly here, God says, "But his blood I will require at your hands." They will be accounted for their sins, and you will be accountable for your sin. And what would Ezekiel's sin be in that instance? His refusal to obey the word of the Lord and speaking the word of the Lord. Verse 19, "But if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or his wicked way," God doesn't hold Ezekiel to account for that. Why? Because Ezekiel's done his job. Ezekiel has fulfilled the commandment. The man who stays in his wicked way, yes, he shall die for his iniquity, but you, Ezekiel, will have delivered your soul. Ezekiel, this man who is called the Son of Man, even as Jesus is called the Son of Man, as Adam is a son of man, is being called to righteousness. If you obey this, you will live. If you don't obey this, you will die. In other words, that same law that's being impressed upon the people of God is being impressed upon the prophet himself. He doesn't get to sort of rise above it all. No, he must obey. Similarly, in verse 20, the Lord impresses this point again. If a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Why? Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he's done shall not be remembered. When we break the law, we break the law. God doesn't look back on our righteousness and go, well, there was some good in there. No, one sin is worthy of our condemnation because God is perfect, holy in every way. There's no sort of balancing act. In this world, we get a little bit of that kind of grace, right? Well, you know, you didn't file all your stuff on time, but you did really good on this project, so we're going to keep you around. But when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the holiness of God, one fault, one sin is enough to bar us from heaven. And if that seems harsh to you, and it does seem harsh to me sometimes, it tells us something about our understanding of sin. It's too low. We think of our sin as too low. If we can look the glory of the Lord, hear of the glory of the Lord in his divine wrath and his mighty power with lightnings and flashing, the flashing of fire and his thundering and the angels and the wheels and go, is sin really that bad? Then we have not understood what sin is, and we have not understood the holiness of the Lord. And honestly, we never really will until we've come into perfection, when we come into the glory of the Lord. And so don't pass over these things and let them just sort of in one ear, out the other. Understand the importance of these things. Righteous deeds are not remembered when the one who is righteous commits sin. But if Ezekiel, again turning to the prophet himself, but if Ezekiel does not warn the righteous who has turned toward wickedness, as he said before, his blood I will require of your hands. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took your warning, and you will have delivered your soul. So righteousness is required on both the hand, on both the part of the prophet and on the part of the people. But as we come to see, Ezekiel's ability to do this, this thing that God has totally 100% required of him, is totally 100% dependent on God. And we see that in the verses after he receives yet again another vision of the glory of the Lord, another again the Spirit entering him and setting him on his feet. And then he says to Ezekiel in verse 24, "Go shut yourself within your house. And you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you. You shall be bound with them so that you cannot go out among the people." He says, "I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and unable to reprove them." So God, in his perfect wisdom, gives this spectacular vision to this prophet, to this man, commissions as a prophet, warns him with the most dire of warnings that he must speak as he has spoken to, that he must go to the wicked, and he must go to the people of Israel and tell them what the Lord says, and then he shuts his mouth, sticks him in a house, and binds him up. Why would God commission a prophet in this way and in such a strong way and then shut him up. Ask Joseph. Ask Daniel. Ask Paul. Ask Jesus, who went as silent as a lamb to be bound to a cross. What this teaches us is that God is sovereign over everything, over the prophets, over providence, over salvation, over judgment. We like to think that if we get, or if we were to receive a sight of God, a vision of God like Ezekiel had, that would be enough to inspire us, to equip us, to then go live our lives in the service of God and to do great things. But it's not enough. Ezekiel doesn't only need to receive this vision. He doesn't only need to be commanded by God. He must also be set free by God and empowered, set on his feet to speak. We like to think that if we'd get a sight of God, that would be enough. Or we like to think that if we knew the gospel of Jesus Christ enough, then that would be enough to compel us to good works, or that if the bad news of God's judgment was terrifying enough, that perhaps that would be enough for us. But it's not. It's of course great to know the gospel really, really well. And it's of course great to know the bad news and fear the coming judgment. And it's of course great to have the visions of God as we all have received it here through the prophet's words in Ezekiel. But without the Spirit of God moving in our hearts, it's not enough. We like to think it's enough because we will like to think that it would be enough for us to just sort of get this sort of, I don't know, gas in our tank or something, and then we're sort of good to go on our own. And then we begin to think of all of our lives in this way. We think, well, if I'm gentle enough, or forceful enough, or important enough, or harsh enough, or whatever it is we think we need to be, that will then enable us to speak the Word of God and to live in the Word of God. That having perhaps understood X well enough, or seen X, or experienced X, that then we can live the Christian life and do as we ought to do and speak as we ought to speak, live as we ought to live. But what God is teaching Ezekiel and what God is teaching his people through him is that nothing can break our rebellion against God except for God himself. Ezekiel will speak the word and they won't hear. That's a hard teaching. Because we'd like to think that, well, if I heard from Ezekiel, for crying out loud, I'd listen to that. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Because our sin is that bad. Our sin goes that deep. It's not enough to say, here I am, send me. God must also send you. He must be with you. He must empower you. And that's what he is teaching us through Ezekiel. That we are entirely, entirely dependent on him and on his grace to change our rebellious hearts and to move us. And I think that for most of us, it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us, and we hate to say it, but really it makes us too dependent on God, if we're honest, I think. We're just not comfortable with letting go that much, with admitting that we need him that much, that he is really that much in control. And that's why we don't pray. That's why we don't read our Bibles. That's why we're sleepy and kind of unaffected when we hear of the glory of God and his word. Because we're just not that hungry. We just don't feel the need that much. We think we kind of, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot, can handle it on our own. Perhaps with God's help here or there, but that's not what Ezekiel is showing us. That's not what God is showing us through Ezekiel. What he's showing us is that we cannot manage on our own. We cannot change our hearts on our own. We cannot save ourselves. We need him entirely. So I think part of us feels like we don't really want to be that dependent on God. We think we can partly manage ourselves on our own. And I think the other part of us thinks that we're simply scared of what would happen if we admitted that we do, in fact, have these sins. And it's scary to go before the Almighty God face to face like Ezekiel does. Because if we were really honest about how much we need him, if we're really honest about how much we've sinned against him, it's scary to come face to face with the living God. It's terrifying, and so we'd rather not think about it, really. And so we put ourselves in this weird position where the choice seems to be pretend to be asleep, even though we know we're not asleep, and we know we need to wake up, but just kind of keep your eyes closed and pretend the alarm's not going off and hope that if you wait long enough, something different will happen. Or coming face to face with the fact that the alarm's going off and you're late and you've messed everything up. And those we feel are our two options, and because our hearts are hard, we just kind of stay there in bed. We stay stuck, we stay scared, we stay frustrated, and we feel like there's no other option. But God does offer a third way. Our sin tells us there's two choices. Stay blind in your disobedience and to your disobedience, pretend it's not there, or come to face to face with the unmediated glory of God Almighty. But there is a third way, a way that God provides, a way that is true and a way that is life, and that way is Jesus. A prophet that is greater than Ezekiel, who also speaks of coming judgment, who also speaks of the wrath of God, and then takes on the wrath of God himself to become a mediator between us and God. As a prophet, Jesus speaks the word so that we could hear and live and come to God and his holiness through Jesus. So instead of standing naked before God in all of our sin, we stand clothed in the righteousness of God, in the righteousness of Christ. So that we don't have to be terrified of coming face to face with God, but we come boldly into his throne room, praising him for his salvation, having the weight and the burden of sin lifted off of our chest so that we can finally breathe and be awake and be alive, not to the judgment and condemnation of God, but to the salvation of God. Jesus, likewise, would be bound, as I mentioned before. Jesus, like the prophet, would be put, would be silenced, but not forever. Jesus fulfilled the law as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, as the Son of Man, perfectly. He did what Adam failed to do and achieved righteousness for us, that he might take our sins and give to us his righteousness. He was obedient to death, not as a punishment for his sins, but for ours. And this is the message that we now have in the gospel. Jesus speaks to us not only of judgment that we, as we see on the cross, but also of salvation. And so, beloved, cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cling to his words, this prophet who speaks the words of Ezekiel better than Ezekiel spoke them. And Ezekiel spoke them by the Spirit of God. Not that there was anything sinful about what Ezekiel spoke, but it wasn't as full, it wasn't as perfect, it wasn't as clear, and it wasn't as final as the words of the prophet of the Lord, our Savior. And so when we hear his words and we see them, I was going to say enacted, but I don't want to make it sound like a pretend thing, right? Fulfilled in his flesh is what I'm trying to get at. In his body on the cross. Let's hear with faith and believe that we might receive his righteousness and be saved. Let's pray.